Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Shri Guru Charan Saroj Raj Nijamana Mukuru Sudhar Baranau Raghuvar Bimala Jasu Jo Dayakha Palachari.
As promised, we are going to start the series where I expound on the meaning of the Hanuman Chalisa and share my interpretation and my experience as I relate to these stanzas in my own life. So the first stanza is Shri Guru Charan Saroj Raj Nijamana Mukuru Sudhari. This means, with the dust of the lotus feet of the Guru, I cleanse the mirror of my mind. And then it goes, Barano Raghuvar Bimala Jasu Jo Dayukha Palajari. I sing the glories of Raghuvar, who bestows the fourfold fruits of life. Now, in this series, from time to time, I will be referencing a booklet that provide some commentaries and explanations on the Hanuman Chalisa by a writer called Shubha Vilas. Because I myself am not learned enough to provide the appropriate interpretations of something as profound as the Hanuman Chalisa. And so I'll be drawing on from my experience, but also from time to time referring to this commentary. So, Shri Guru Charan Saroj Raj. Now, Shri is a very significant term in India, because Shri is a term that is used before we begin something auspicious. Before we start something new, before we start a prayer. In fact, the word Shri is used before people's names as well. So the idea over here is that before actually starting the Hanuman Chalisa, you say these two lines, or rather four lines, because you are seeking blessings from Shri Guru. Now, this could mean that your Guru is highly revered, and that's why you are saying Shri Guru. And in this, Guru means teacher or a master or somebody that provides wisdom. This could also mean the Guru is empowered by the Shri, and Shri is actually the divine feminine deities. Shri refers to Sita, the divine mother, who who plays a key role in the epic of Ramayana. She is considered to be an embodiment of mercy and grace. And on a number of occasions in this epic, she is known to forgive people even though they might not have deserved forgiveness. Right? So she is this divine embodiment full of grace and mercy and forgiveness. And on this journey, Hanuman, who is also one of the central characters of the epic Ramayana, learned a lot from Mother Shri or Mother Sita. So when we use the term Shri, we are in fact invoking an energy of auspiciousness, of sacredness, and seeking the divine feminine's blessings. So, Shri Guru Charan Saroj Raj. Saroj means lotus. Okay. And what this sentence means, it says, with the dust of the lotus feet of the Guru, I cleanse the mirror of my mind. With the dust, with the dirt of the lotus feet. Now, the lotus is a symbol that is used a lot of times in ancient Indian texts. It's a very powerful symbol. The lotus, as you might know, is a beautiful flower that grows in the muddy water, in the marshes. And yet, despite its surroundings, it transmutes that environment to bloom into a beautiful flower, lending purity, lending its beautiful aroma to its surroundings. And so the Guru's feet is compared to a lotus. And through that process, no matter where the Guru places his feet, that dirt, that mud, or that impure grounding becomes pure, becomes blessed, becomes lucky, becomes auspicious. So the Guru's feet has the potential, in fact, to turn any negative circumstance or surroundings into positivity and opportunity. And so, in singing this, you're saying, with the dust of the lotus feet of the Guru, I cleanse the mirror of my mind. Now, this is a very powerful statement. I cleanse the mirror of my mind. Why do you think we need cleansing? Right? Especially in today's day and age, we come across so much quote-unquote filth on our phones. We come across so much negativity in day-to-day life. We come across people whose auras are not, you know, aligned or suited or conducive to a positive atmosphere. We come across a lot of negative energy, in fact. We come across people that don't have boundaries. And all of these energies, these thoughts, these stray entities, so to speak, they influence our minds subconsciously in ways that we don't even know. And that creates thought formats. Those thoughts lead to feelings and emotions, and those emotions lead to actions. And all of this is happening without us even knowing about it. Just our environment, just our interactions, just the people that we meet, just the media that we consume, whether it's YouTube or Facebook or Instagram or anything that we see online these days, all of it is influencing the mind. And this couplet says that it has influenced my mind so much that I am unable to even see myself. I think this is really profound. Sometimes, because of the influence of the world around us and the opinions and perspectives that people have, we forget who we truly are and what we stand for and what our values are. Does that sound familiar? And so this couplet is asking the guru's feet, in fact, the dust from the guru's feet, to help you clean the mirror of your mind. Because once that mirror of your mind is clean, you will be able to see things as they are and see yourself and the true potential of what you stand for. And so the next sentence is Barano Raghubar Bimala Jasu Jo Dayukha Palachari. It says, I sing the glories of Raghuvar, who is Rama, who bestows the fourfold fruits of life. Now, this might be a little bit more complex for those who are not familiar with the story of Rama. Now, according to the story of Rama, Hanuman was the biggest disciple and devotee of Rama. And the amount of love and devotion and respect that he had for Rama is immeasurable. So even though this particular couplet, Hanuman Chalisa, is written in devotion to Hanuman, if one praises Rama, then automatically they are offering the highest praise to Hanuman, because Hanuman lives in service of Rama. Does that make sense? And so, Barano Raghubar Bimala Jasu Jo really means living in service of the divine Rama. And not just living in service, thinking in service, acting in accordance with Rama, behaving in accordance with your highest truth, which is Rama. And in doing so, one attains the perfection of the four most important fruits of human life. Now think about it. Chances are that you're living in a city as you listen to this podcast. And although this couplet was written over 500 years back, 600 years back, it's sort of very applicable today. The four Purush Arthas or fruits of human life are number one, Dharma, which is righteousness, moral values. Dharma is a term that one can spend a lot of time really unpacking and understanding. But Dharma means righteousness. Deep down, we all have an understanding of what is right and what is wrong. We often talk about doing the right thing, irrespective of who's watching. It's almost integrity. And in each situation in life, you will come across the choice, or you will have the choice and a decision to make. And the decision that you make will determine whether the direction that you're heading is in accordance with your dharma or not. Are you doing the right thing? And this stems from your inner conscience, the need to do the right thing. So one is dharma. The second one is artha, which is prosperity and economic values. Now, especially the Hanuman Chalisa believes that each one of us is born to experience prosperity in abundance. Now, prosperity in abundance, what does that really mean? That could mean an abundance of finances to be able to pay our bills. Prosperity could be in being prosperous in your social connections, having friends that love and trust you, having a family that supports you no matter what you do, having a wife or a husband that is empowering you and is listening to you and is supporting you. All of these things are part of what we term as prosperity. And then the third one is karma, which is pleasure, love, and psychological values or psychological comfort. Deep down, we're all in the pursuit of feeling loved, feeling understood, feeling pleasure. And I know Kama Sutra sort of points to that, right? So pleasure could be sexual pleasure, but it also could mean intimacy. It also could mean understanding. It also could mean, you know, these things have so many different interpretations. So we are pursuing karma. And the fourth one is moksha. And moksha is spiritual liberation, self-actualization, in fact, where a person beyond a certain age becomes tired with the worldly aspects of being, whether it is money and cars and houses and fame. And they want the real thing, right? They want to be liberated. So that is one of the other pursuits. And so what this intro stanza is saying effectively, that this disciple is yearning for the truth, right? They've spent years maybe in the pursuit and finding this and finding that and being accomplished in this and that and, you know, attaining these goals. But deep down, they still feel like they're missing something. And so the first thing they say is they're invoking the Shri energy or the divine feminine to bless this new path that they found themselves in. They're asking their guru to allow his feet, which is the lotus feet, to clean the mirror of their mind so that they're able to now see the truth and, most importantly, see the truth of themselves and really understand who they truly are, their values, their morals, their visions, their goals, without all the cloudiness that the world tends to provide. And in doing so, realigning with what their goals are, whether these goals be economic, spiritual, social, or whatever the goals might be, but really working toward these goals that comes from their soul. Now tell me, isn't this beautiful? Before even starting the Hanuman Chalisa, now we've not even started, and we need to start, or this is sort of the preamble or what happens before you start, to sort of set the tone, to set the intention, to set the energy of what you're getting into. Because the Hanuman Chalisa is not just about what you say. It's about the emotions that you're able to invoke. It's about the feeling that you're able to feel. It's about the environment that you're able to set so that Hanuman himself is able to descend down, come to you, and support you in your journey. Because here's the thing. I mean, there are different stories about Hanuman which we are going to get into. But one thing is, Hanuman has the habit of forgetting his true power. You know, sometimes Hanuman forgets how strong, how intelligent, how wise, how gifted he is. And it is up to us, the disciples, to really chant with a sincere and earnest heart so that you're able to help Hanuman remember. And when you do, irrespective of which dimension or corner of the universe or the multiverse he is in a blink of an eye, He's going to be there. Now, I know it does not make sense for a lot of you. Like, what does that even mean? He's going to be here. If you're listening to this podcast, it means that there's some intrigue, there's some curiosity. And I would suggest listening to this satsang almost that we're doing here. And I feel privileged to have this opportunity to explain the Hanuman Chalisa to you, because I draw a lot of meaning from this, because I myself, right after recording this, I'm going to go do my evening Hanuman Chalisa. But I suggest taking one step at a time and sensing how this feels. This is an important journey that you and me have embarked on. And this is just the beginning.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.